The laws of Torah reading are also included therein. So, on the first page, I just have the Mishnah underlined and the section of the Mishnah that we're up to. So, you know, the Gemara is really a commentary on the Mishnah. So, we're up to this section of the Mishnah. So, the Mishnah here says, where I underlined, Makom shenahagu levarech, yevarech. In a place where the custom is to say a bracha, a blessing, you say the bracha. Veshelo levarech, lo yevarech. And a place where the custom is not to say a bracha, you don't say a bracha. Sounds pretty good, right? What are they talking about?
Before the Torah?
So we're on the Megillah. Let's stick to, we're on the Megillah right now. Yeah. The Mishnah is all about the Megillah. The Gemara then the Mishnah also extrapolates to the Torah reading, but this is really about the Megillah. Yeah. So what do you think?
Why would you not say a bracha before saying the Megillah?
Okay, so presumably there were some places where the custom was not to say a bracha. How many brachot do we say in the Megillah?
No, it's Likro Megillah, isn't it?
Al Mikro Megillah.
And then
Shechianu and Sheasanisim.
Oh.
And then at the end of the Megillah, there's also a bracha.
There's more at the end.
So there's a bracha at the beginning. Mm-hmm. There's three brachot at the beginning. And there's a bracha at the end. Okay? So the Mishnah is not clear as to which bracha they're talking about. Is it all of them? Is it one of them? Is it some of them? Which bracha is it? So the Gemara then picks up there. This is what we're up to in the Gemara, page 2. Makom shenagu levarech yevarech. Amar Abaye, lo shanu ela leachareah. Aval lefanea mitzvah levarech. This Mishnah was only taught about the end of the Megillah. You have a sheet right over there. This Mishnah was only taught regarding the end of the Megillah, the final bracha. But at the beginning of the Megillah, before you read the Megillah, we're on page 2, it's a mitzvah to say a bracha. Okay? Why? So, this is the key. De'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, Kol ha-mitzvot kulan mevarech alehen over le'asiyatan. All of the mitzvot, you say a bracha before you do them. Every mitzvah has a bracha before you do the mitzvah. Shake the lulav, asher, al nitilat lulav, you shake the lulav. This, every mitzvah, you say a bracha before the mitzvah. Now, so what's interesting is that Abaye quotes it here. Abaye is now commenting on our Mishnah. The Mishnah said, some places there's a custom to say a bracha, some places there is not a custom to say a bracha. And Abaye says, that must only be about the final bracha, because the first bracha, you always have to say. Anytime you do a mitzvah, you have to say a bracha first. But then, he was quoting an earlier source. There are so many layers here. There's the Mishnah. There's Abaye commenting on the Mishnah by quoting Shmuel, right? Abaye is commenting on the earlier Mishnah by quoting somebody in between, Shmuel. But now, the Gemara is going to ask, Mai mashma dehai over lishna dakdumihu? How do you know that over, I know that Shmuel said, all the mitzvot, you have to say a bracha, over le'asiyatan. Why don't they just say, why didn't Shmuel just say, you have to say a bracha, lifnei asiyatan? How do you know that over means akadume, mikodem, earlier? How do you know that over means you have to say a bracha before? Maybe over, what does la'avor mean? To pass over. Maybe over le'asiyatan means you say the bracha after the mitzvah, not before the mitzvah. We all have it in us that you say a bracha before you do a mitzvah. Maybe over le'asiyatan means after the mitzvah. How do you know that over le'asiyatan means before the mitzvah? So now they're going to cite three possibilities. Amar Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, Rabbi Nachman Bar Yitzchak made the following suggestion. Amar Kra, based on the pasuk in Shmuel Bet, Vayarotz Achimaatz. Derech HaKikar, Achimaatz ran through the kikar, through the area. Vayavol et hakushi. And he went before the Kushite. There was a Kushite and he went ahead of him. So you see that over, yavor, means before. That's evidence number one. Number two, Abaye amar me'acha. Abaye said from here. Vehu avar lifnei him. That he passed before them. Avar lifnei him. So you see that avar means before. Okay, but here it said avar lifnei him. You're right.
That means they passed them to get ahead.
You're right. And finally, here's the thing. If you need to cite three different psukim to prove that a word means something, yeah. it means that it's not obvious that word means what you're saying it means, right? It means that you're finding out what it means through context, but it just means that that word is ambiguous. We're going to see it's really ambiguous soon. Ve'ibayit eima me'acha, maybe it's from the following one. And this one is from Micha. Vaya'avor malkam lifnehem, and the king went before them. You see, whenever it's ya'avor, it's always before. Lifnehem v'Hashem b'Rosham, and God was ahead of them. Okay, so we have this little passage over here where Shmuel and Abaye and everybody say that it's got to be, the whole Mishnah has to only be about the final bracha. Because nobody argues that you say a bracha before you do a mitzvah. Every single mitzvah has to have a bracha before it.
But not Yom Tov. So Yom Tov, this, I wanted to clarify Yom Tov.
So let's, one second, so we'll get there.
We're going to get there.
Page 3. This very same sugya in Masechet Megillah has an exact parallel in Masechet Sukkah. The Mishnah in Masechet Sukkah says that Hallel, there's places where there's a custom to say a bracha on Hallel, and there's places where there's a custom not to say a bracha on Hallel. What's the bracha on Hallel?
Likro Hallel.
That's the first bracha. There's also final bracha.
Oh, right.
Yehallelucha, Kol Maasech, all that. Melech Mehulah B'Tishpachot. That's the final bracha. So look at page 3. The exact same sugya. Amar Abaye, Lo Shanu El Alech Arav, Avelafanav Mitzvah Levarech. Ta'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvot Kulan, Mevarech Reino Ver Lesiatan. Abaye, the same Abaye. You know, if we were academic, if we were trying to figure out if we were academic Talmudicians, figuring out how the Talmud got to be what it is, then we would, you know, you could argue that Abaye made this statement about something, then the later compilers of the Gemara inserted it where in other places where it also made sense. Well, no, where it made sense.
They did cut and paste.
No, that's clearly what it is. No, it's clearly Abaye. Now, maybe Abaye said it about these two things. Maybe Abaye only originally said it about one thing, but it makes sense about another. We've already made a lot of comparisons between Megillah and Hallel. Earlier on in Masechet Megillah, we asked, why don't we say Hallel on Purim? And one of the responses was that reading the Megillah is the Hallel of Purim. There are many parallels. We also read, if you remember earlier in this very same Mishnah, multiple people can read Megillah and can read Hallel. It's the same. They're often compared with each other. So it's not far-fetched to assign the same rules to both. So Abaye here, when it comes to Hallel, also said exactly in the exact same words. That Mishnah was only talking about the final bracha, Yehallelucha, not the bracha Asher Kedushan of Zavat Zivar Lulikro to Hallel. Everybody agrees that you always say a bracha before a mitzvah. And then it quotes the same three psukim. It goes through the very same three psukim again to prove that Over Lesia is exactly the same sugya. Turn the page to page 4. Abaye applied that principle, which he actually heard from Rav Yehuda, who said it in the name of Shmuel. Remember? Every time Abaye said, you know what? This Mishnah is only talking about the final bracha, and not the first bracha, whether it's the Megillah or whether it's Hallel.
Yeah.
What?
That's what I was wondering. Are they just talking about the final bracha?
So, yeah. So Abaye says only about the final bracha, because Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel, you always say a bracha before a mitzvah. Where did Rav Yehuda say that in the name of Shmuel? The answer is on page 4 in Masechet Pesachim. The original statement is in Tractate Pesachim. Here it is. There's no Abaye over here. Amar Rav Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Kol HaMitzvot Mevarech Alein Over LeSiatan. And then my mashma dahai, right? And then it asks again, how do you know that over means before? And it cites the psukim again. But the original is not, Abaye is quoting this from Psachim. Abaye learned that Rav Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel this fact, and he thought that that applied, Abaye thought that that applied to Megillah and Hallel as well. Here we have, in addition to that, that you always say a bracha before a mitzvah, except for two things. Look in the second part. I skipped the psukim. It's the same three psukim again. So I skipped it. Bei Rav Amre, in the house of Rav, they said, Chutz min atvila v'shofar, except for dunking in the mikvah and shofar. Mikvah and shofar, you don't say the bracha before. What do you think about that? Who was here on Rosh Hashanah? When did we say the bracha and the shofar?
Before.
Said it, okay, so clearly that's not correct, right? Okay.
Which isn't correct.
This is not correct. You'll see, the Gemara is going to tell you it's not correct. They said, we heard they said, you say a bracha before, except for dunking in the mikvah and shofar. Bishlama tvila. Da'kati gavra lochazi. I understand dunking in the mikvah because before they dunk in the mikvah, they cannot say a bracha. Who are they talking about? Who can't say a bracha before they can dunk before they dunk in the mikvah? Who?
The women?
No. Before they dunk in the mikvah, they cannot say Asher Kiddushanu Mitzvotav Vetziv. That's right. Talking about conversion, dunking for conversion. Because before a convert dunks in the mikvah, they cannot say Asher Kiddushanu V'Tzivanu. Then after they dunk in the mikvah, it's Asher Kiddushanu V'Mitzvotav V'Tzivanu. Okay? Before a convert dunks in the mikvah.
That's their first bracha?
They can't. That's the first bracha.
Wow.
That's the first bracha, they say. Wow. They dunk, they come out,
yeah.
And they you say that bracha. And then they dunk again.
And then they dunk again.
Yeah.
Wow.
So the reason why they dunk again is because we love this policy of you never say, you always say a bracha before you do a mitzvah. The rabbis took it so seriously that kol mitzvot mevarech alein over le'siatan, and over means before, that even though somebody dunks, and by the way, this is the Ashkenazi practice for women who go to the mikvah as well. When women go to the mikvah, so this is it's a long Tosfos, which we're not going to read, but I underlined the Tosfos for you if you'd like to read it on your own. But I looked at the Tosfos. But this, in basically, the truth is that the simple custom, the simple understanding, should be like the Sephardic practice. The Sephardic practice is women recite a bracha before they dunk in the mikvah, and then they dunk in the mikvah. That's the Sephardic practice. The Ashkenazi practice is based on this Tosfot. Tosfot here says that because the tevila of a ger, the dunking of a convert, the bracha comes after they dunk. All other dunkings in Jewish law follow the same principle. All other dunkings. So the Ashkenazi custom is that women dunk once and then they come out and they say the bracha and then they dunk again another once, twice, six times. It depends on various customs. Up to, I've heard 49 times. There's various customs. There are various customs as to how many times women dunk in the mikvah, but the Ashkenazi practice is that they dunk first. And by the way, that's a difficult, from a purely halachic perspective, it's very, well, we'll see why it's difficult. That comes right from here. The Tosfot says that this, that because the dunking of a ger takes place this way, that is the binyan av, that is the categorical way we learn all other dunkings. But you didn't have to say that. You could have said that that only applies to
obviously,
some...
the Sephardim don't do it that
that's
way.
Right.
So it's not...
That's right.
It's not universally...
And by the way, that's what Tosfot says, that that's also why many, many other commentaries say that's why you... that washing of the Netilat Yadayim is for the same principle. It also comes... Yeah?
I was just wondering how they could expound that, and I think I found the thing, if I may say it.
Go for it.
When a particular case that is included in a general law is singled out to instruct us concerning something new,
yeah,
it is singled out not only to teach concerning its own case, but is to be applied to the whole of the general
law. That's a binyan av. That's called a binyan av, and that's exactly what that's what the Tosfot say. That's it. That's this. That's right. Meaning that there's a general, there's a specific case, and that this specific case applies to all other similar things like dunking, which they didn't have to say that, right? They could have said in general you say a bracha before you do a mitzvah. In the case of someone who's dunking for the purposes of conversion, they can't say the bracha before they dunk, so that's why they say it afterwards. But every other case they should say the bracha before, and that's indeed the Sephardic practice. Sephardic practice say the bracha first. I think Sephardim still say al netilat yadayim after they wash their hands. I don't think they have a different practice there. Yeah. What?
That's my memory.
Josh also, yeah. Sephardim still, they wash their hands and then say, there's other reasons why the Tosfot bring other, because you wipe, according to some, wiping the hands, drying the hands is still part of the mitzvah, so you wash and then you say, and then you dry. There are various other, the Tosfot here give three interpretations as to why Netilat Yadayim. We're not going to read it inside, but I'll tell you. They give three interpretations as to why Al Netilat Yadayim, you say the bracha after you wash your hands. One is because al netilat yadayim is like a mini dunking, it's like a mini purification of the mikvah, so it follows all the same rules. Another possibility is because drying your hands is part of the mitzvah. And another possibility is that when is the first time you wash your hands in the morning? You go to the bathroom, you wash your hands. That's the general, right? That's the, in general, washing of the hands is comes after, and you're not allowed to say a bracha in the bathroom. So because because the washing of the hands can't be so close to the bathroom, they establish that the bracha should be afterwards in all cases, not just in the bathroom case. That's another possibility. These are all possibilities as to why the bracha is after. In any event, the Talmud Bavli takes it as it's obvious that the bracha comes before the mitzvah. Why? Why is that? Why should you say a bracha before you do a mitzvah? Why?
To show your intention.
To show that your intention is to do. So let me ask you a question. The average person on the street, they take a lulav and an etrog and they go like this. What could they be doing besides the mitzvah of lulav and etrog? Why should they have to say a bracha to show their intention of doing a mitzvah? Obviously, nobody does that for fun. They're doing it for the mitzvah.
It's also recognizing God in the mitzvah.
Okay, so maybe showing that God is what commanded you to do the mitzvah. Okay, yeah.
You don't say, you don't eat.
Focus. It's like intention, but it's a little different.
Oh, to focus your intents, to focus your kavanah on the mitzvah. Okay, what do you think, Josh?
You don't eat an almond and then say Brei Pri Aet.
Yeah.
You say Brei Pri Aet and then eat the almond.
Yeah, but that's because it's food that you have to say a bracha before you eat. You're partaking of there's a Gemara we're going to see the Gemara later on, but the Gemara says that anybody who eats without saying a bracha, it's like they are stealing from God. It's to show that you're not, but you're not stealing a mitzvah from God.
No, but I mean, isn't that the same idea? Like before you do the act, you're making the book.
So everybody came up with good ideas. Let me show you something amazing. Turn to page 5. Page 5, the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Palestinian Talmud, as it's called. Okay? So the parallel, so the Amoraim lived, the Tanaim compiled the Mishnah and wrote the statements that are found in the Mishnah and the Braitot and the Tosefta. The Amoraim lived in either Eretz Yisrael, in the land of Israel, or in Babylonia. And two separate Talmuds were developed, one in Israel and one in Babylonia. Talmud Yerushalmi, in Tractate Brachot, has a conversation that does not take place in the Babylonian Talmud. Mitzvot, eimat mevarech alehen. Mitzvot, when, look, eimat is eimatai. There's a mitzvah right in the... Eimat, when should you say the bracha on them? Rabbi Yochanan omer, over le'asiyatan. Rabbi Yochanan says, before you do them. Rav Huna omer, bishat asiyatan. What does Rav Huna say?
While you're doing them.
Hmm. Atya de Rav Huna kishmuel. Rav Huna is like Shmuel. De'amar Rabbi Yossi be'Rabbi Abun b'shem Shmuel. Kol ha-mitzvot te'unot bracha b'sh'at asiyatan. Chutz mit ki'ah u'tfilah. All of the mitzvot require a bracha while you do them. By the way, this is the same Shmuel. So clearly there are two different traditions as to what Shmuel said. Because in our Gemara, in the Talmud Bavli, Shmuel said, Over l'asiyatan. Here, it's Rabbi Yochanan who said, Over l'asiyatan, and Rav Huna who said, Bish'at asiyatan. And then they're going to tell us that Shmuel also said, Bish'at asiyatan. So which one did Shmuel say? We don't know. But Shmuel said, according to this, all the mitzvot you have to say a bracha while you do them, except for shofar and dunking in the mikvah. Now, let me tell you something. If you go back to our Babylonian passage in Psachim, where it told us that you're supposed to say a bracha before you do a mitzvah, except for shofar and dunking, we didn't read the rest of the sugya because it's getting late. But the rest of the sugya, these other four lines, basically say, no. They shofar, you say a bracha before you do it. It must be wrong that this original statement said except for tefillah and shofar, because we say a bracha on shofar before we blow the shofar. We all said that before. But let me make a suggestion. I think that this line in the Babylonian Talmud, I did not do, I am sure there are dissertations written on this. I didn't look it up. But here's what I think. This is complete conjecture. But what I think is that statement, chutz min hatvilah v'shofar, did not originally apply to the one who said that you say a bracha before the mitzvah, but it originally applied to the one who said you do a bracha during a mitzvah. Why? Because you cannot say a bracha while you're dunking in the mikvah or while you're blowing the shofar. It's impossible to say a bracha at those two times. You'll choke. You'll drown if you try to say a bracha under the mikvah, and you cannot. It's physically impossible to say the bracha while you're blowing the shofar.
Or hearing the shofar.
Yeah. So that's my suggestion. I'm going to look up to see if there's something somebody says this afterwards, but I'm sure it just makes too much sense for not to be the case. And that line, chutz min ha-tvila v'ha-shofar, was copied onto the Babylonian Talmud. That's not a crazy conjecture.
Because earlier it seemed that they were suggesting that you say the bracha on the shofar after the shofar.
Either after or some other time. I don't know. Yeah, after. The Babylonian Talmud rejects that. We can read it back on page 4. Beirav amrei chutz min atvila v'shofar. Beirav said, except for dunking in the mikvah and shofar. Bishlama atvila de'akati gavra lochazi. Bishlama means I understand. I'm shalem. I'm content with the idea that you don't dunk. You don't say a bracha before you dunk, because the person who's dunking cannot say a bracha yet. Ela shofar maitama, but shofar, why shouldn't you say the bracha? Vechiteima mishum dilma mikalkel atkia. It maybe you could say that it's because the bracha might become a bracha levatala, because maybe I'll say the bracha and then I won't be able to blow the shofar properly. So the bracha will be an unwarranted bracha. That's why the Soloveitchiks and many people do not say the bracha before they go to sleep. You know the bracha hamapil? There's a bracha in your siddur after Maariv, hamapil, the bracha on going to sleep. The briskers and the Soloveitchiks never said hamapil. Because how could you say the bracha, and then what happens if you don't fall asleep? You said a bracha. If you don't fall asleep, you have ipso facto said a bracha levatala. Those who disagree with that perspective say that the bracha is on the act of attempting to go to sleep. But the briskers say, no, it's about going to sleep. If you don't. So Rav Soloveitchik said the bracha. Rav Soloveitchik grew up in a brisker household, and he said the bracha hamapil once in his life. You know when he said the bracha? He had a surgery, and the anesthesiologist gave him the anesthesia. So he knew he was going to fall asleep then. He said the bracha hamapil before he fell asleep. So what if he said, what about that? Maybe you can't say the bracha before you blow the shofar, because maybe you won't blow properly. If so, you should say the same thing about slaughtering and about bris milah, because those are two things that require skill. I mean, anything that requires skill, you might mess up. You hope the mohel doesn't mess up the bris milah. But anything that requires skill, you could mess up. Right? There's other brachot, like you're not going to mess up shaking the lulav. You say the bracha on lulav, you're going to shake the lulav. It's not a big deal. Putting on tefillin, whatever you do, those are easy things. Halal, you're not going to mess that up. But you might mess up a skilled, right? If you shecht and then the knife slips and you cut the wrong part, you've not done shechita properly. Ella amar Rav Chisda, chutz min atvila bilvad itamar. Rather, Rav Chisda said, no, they only meant to say except for dunking. Shofar was a mistake. So where did they get shofar? I think they got shofar from that statement that you were shouting. Okay. Now, let's go on. What are they arguing about? Why should you say a bracha during a mitzvah? And why should you say a bracha before a mitzvah? That's what I like to know. I want to know what are they really, are they? I mean, it's not just an arbitrary argument. They have two different conceptions of what it means to say a bracha on a mitzvah. What is a birkat mitzvah? What is this argument? What are they arguing about? What is the Bavli so convinced that you say a bracha before you do a mitzvah? And why did Rav Huna say that you have to say a bracha during the mitzvah? And by the way, that was not lost in halacha. Look on page 6. On page 6, I have the Avudraham. The Abudirham is the correct pronunciation, but an Ashkenazi yeshiva is always called the Avudraham. Okay?
I wonder why.
Yeah, that's right. The Abu Dirham. So the Abu Dirham wrote a commentary on everything that we do, on all daily Jewish practices, on the Sidur and whatever. And when he has a section on Birkot HaMitzvah, and he writes that the Baal HaMaor said, it's already 6, let's decide what we're going to do. Let's not read this. Let's tell you what it says. It's actually not, he doesn't write in difficult Hebrew. I think most of you, if you read Hebrew, you should be able to pick this up. He writes a very, if you're looking for a good commentary on daily practices, the Avudraham is an excellent sefer to have. But he writes, here, Katav Baal HaMaor, Delav Dafka B'chol HaMitzvot Mevarech Alein Over La'Asiyatan. Baal HaMaor was an early provincial Rishon, an early medieval sage who lived in Provence, which is in between the Ashkenazic and Sephardic territories. He wrote that not every mitzvah you say a bracha before the mitzvah. Sha'arei yesh mitzvot shebishat kiyuman mevarech alein velo over. There are mitzvot that you should say the bracha while you're doing them, like the Yerushalmi said, and not afterwards. Like sitting in the sukkah. And he says, any mitzvah that is an ongoing mitzvah, you should say the bracha while you're doing it. So, sitting in the sukkah, he gives netilat lulav, putting on tzitzit, tefillin, and all other mitzvot that take place. So, a mitzvah where you do a quick act, and that's the end, then, says the Baal HaMaor, you can't say a bracha during it. It's impossible. You can't say a bracha, what's a good example of a... Like tiat shofar, or shechita, or mila, right? You can't, the moel can't say the bracha while he's doing the mila. The mila takes place in a, splits, hopefully, very quickly.
And right at the moment.
Yeah, but he says it right before he slices. Okay. He says it over la'asiyatan. So in these kinds of mitzvot that take place in a, you didn't do a mitzvah and then you did the mitzvah and that's it and it's over, right? Mila is not an ongoing mitzvah. Once you did it, you've done it. Shofar is the same thing. You blow the shofar, it's not an ongoing thing. Whereas tzitzit, every moment that one is wearing tzitzit, they are fulfilling the mitzvah of tzitzit. The same thing is true with holding the lulav. Anytime you're holding the lulav, they used to walk around. The Mishnah says that they used to walk around on Sukkot with a lulav and etrog in their hand all day long. While anytime you're holding the lulav and etrog, you're doing a mitzvah. In the sukkah, anytime you're hanging out in the sukkah, you're doing the mitzvah of sukkah. Any of those mitzvot, says the Baal HaMaor, you should say the bracha while you're doing them. It's only because there are mitzvot that take place so quickly, you can't say a bracha while you're doing them, that you have to say it before. But really, ideally, you should say it during. The Rambam completely disagrees. The Rambam on page 7, in the Laws of Brachot, says, yeah, on ongoing mitzvot, ha'oseh mitzvah v'lo birich. If you do a mitzvah and you forgot to say a bracha, so what's the, anybody know the halacha? If you did a mitzvah, let's say you shook the lulav, but you forgot to say a bracha, what should you do? The answer is nothing. The answer is, if you shook the lulav and you forgot to say a bracha, you don't say a bracha. Okay? If you do a mitzvah and you didn't say a bracha, the bracha is not, the bracha was a rabbinic enactment after the mitzvot were enacted. The bracha on the mitzvah is, by all accounts, a rabbinic enactment, and it does not define the mitzvah. There's also one category of mitzvot for which there is, that's not.
Even eating? That's not a mitzvah.
That's not a birkat mitzvah. You don't say asher kedishanu mizavet zivanu, well, whatever. But if any bracha where it's asher kedishanu mizavet zivanu, once you've, let's say I'm officiating a wedding, and the groom and the bride are right there, and I say, okay, put the ring on the finger, haray at mekudesh li. Oh, I forgot to say birkat erus. I forgot to say the whole bracha. Asher kedushah mezavet zivan. Well, it's too late. Once she's mekudeshet, it's over. Can't say a bracha anymore. The bracha is only before the mitzvah. Says the Rambam, what happens if you do a mitzvah and you forgot to say a bracha? Oseh mitzvah velo birech. Im mitzvah sha'adayin asiyata kayemet, mevarech achar asiyah. Veim davar sha'avar huino mevarech. If it's a mitzvah where after you say the bracha, you're still going to be doing the mitzvah, then you can say a bracha. Not for the same reason as the Baal HaMor said. The Baal HaMor felt like really ideally you should say brachot while you're doing a mitzvah. It's only because there are some mitzvot that you can't do that you should say them before. The Rambam says you should say a bracha before you do a mitzvah. If you forgot to say a bracha, well, look, if you're wearing tzitzit, and you forgot that you're wearing your talis, and you forgot to say the bracha on the talis. Well, guess what? When you say the bracha, you're still going to be wearing your talis. So you could say the bracha, and then you're still doing the mitzvah after the bracha. But the bracha should come before the mitzvah. Just like, let's say you start eating, and you realize you forgot to say the bracha on your food. What should you do? Say the bracha and keep on eating. So in the same way, you should say a bracha and keep on going. Okay.
What about like a couple who, you know, they're a Jewish couple, they get married but not in a Jewish way, and then later they, you know, have some, you know, Baal Teshuva moment or whatever, and they don't need to get married again, right? I mean, somebody recently told me that they got married
that is
the
a
second time, but yeah. It seems like it's not necessary if they're a Jewish couple.
It depends. There's like a debate. There's a contemporary. There is a debate about that. According to, you know, there were two major poskim who lived on the Lower East Side in the 20th century, Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin and Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and they disagreed about this very matter, and it's very significant. So Rabbi Yosef Eliyahu Henkin thought that common law marriage counted halachically. Because once everybody knows that you're right, don't forget the Mishnah in Masachet Kiddushin says there's three ways to effect a marriage: with a ring, with a document, or with marital relations. So once people live together and they're known to be married and they have kids, you don't need two Adam. Everybody knows they've had marital relations. Everybody knows. So according to Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, a common law marriage counts halachically as a marriage. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, it doesn't.
Mm. Unless they don't have a ketubah.
Ketubah is not the reason, because they didn't do active kiddushin. So they live together, and so according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, they're living together illicitly. Each time they're having relations, it's an act of znut, an act of illicit relations. So that sounds bad, but listen to this. What happens if somebody has a common law marriage with a spouse? Then somebody becomes a Baal Teshuva, and then the other person doesn't want to become a Baal Teshuva, and they want to get divorced, and somebody wants to get married. According to Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, she needs to get a get from her husband. Mm-hmm. According to Rav Moshe Feinstein, they just don't need for a get. Okay? It's a huge deal.
Yeah.
And it's better. So there are Batei Din. There are Batei Din in America that have a tradition that the Beis Din holds like Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. And you know what they do in these cases? They tell you, please go to a different Beit Din because I can't. If you come to our Beit Din, we're going to tell you you need to get. Whereas, like the Boston Beit Din was established by people who followed Rav Yosef Vayahinkin. So to this day, if you go to these cases come up all the time, where according to Rav Moshe Feinstein, no get is needed, and according to Rav Yosef Vayahinkin, a get is needed. So the Boston Beit Din will tell people, please go to the Manhattan Beit Din instead. Go to literally any other base besides us who follows or Moshe Feinstein, because you're going to get yourself into a pickle if you come to our, more than a pickle if you come to our base. Okay. Okay. So there are these two views. You say a bracha during a mitzvah, and that's really the ideal thing. Or should you say a bracha after the mitzvah? So which one is it? Before or during, not after. Nobody thinks the bracha should be after the mitzvah. It's either before or during. What's the difference between these two views? I'd like to make a suggestion. Based on Rav Soloveitchik. I'm saying it a little bit differently than Rav Soloveitchik, but it's basically based on his teachings. Go to the last page on page 10. The very back of everything. Don't look at anything yet. How many different types of brachot are there? Who knows? How many types? What are the categories of brachot? So give me one. What's one kind of bracha? Okay, that's called a birkat hamitzvah. One kind of bracha. What's another kind of bracha? What bracha did you say today?
Well, it's tefillot.
Okay, let's hold off on that. Regular brachot that are not part of davening.
Over food.
Food and drink, that's called birkat hanehinin. There's one more kind of bracha. Nehenin means to enjoy. Anytime you enjoy something from the world, lehenot, you enjoy something from God's world, you say a bracha before.
Events. What?
Like what?
Like natural events.
Okay, good. That's called birkat ha-shevach ve-hodaya. All of the brachot of tefillah are technically that. Blessings of praise and thanksgiving. Three categories of brachot. Birkot ha-mitzvah, birkot ha-nehenin, and birkat ha-shevach v'hodaya, praise and thanksgiving. That's the three categories of brachot. That's what the Rambam says. Look, I circled halacha dalet. You see halacha dalet? I circled it. Nimtzu kol ha-brachot kulan shlosha minin. There are three kinds of brachot. Birkot hanaya, blessings of enjoyment, u-birkot mitzvot, blessings on the mitzvah, u-birkot hoda'a, shen derech shevach v'hodaya u-vakasha. Kedei lizkor et ha-boreh tamid. The blessings of thanksgiving, which are praise and thanksgiving to God, and requests, petitions of God, so we always remember God, and we are in awe of Him, to show that we are in awe of God. Okay, so let me tell you the theory. In classical, Lithuanian Talmudic scholarship, and Brisker scholarship, you always want to minimize the number of categories. You want to show that there are fewer categories and that different things belong in different places. So here's the theory. There is no separate category, Birkot HaMitzvah. There is no separate category called Blessings on the Mitzvah. What everybody is debating is whether Birkot HaMitzvah are a kind of Birkot HaNehenin or a kind of Birkot HaShevach. And it's not just words that I'm saying. It's a real thing. Because mitzvot, you could view, the rabbis made an enactment. They established that we should say a bracha on every mitzvah. But why did they make that establishment? So I would like to suggest that according to some, they established a bracha for every mitzvah because we should be in awe of the mitzvah and we should thank God for the opportunity to do this mitzvah. It's amazing. Asher kidashanu b'mitzvotav. Amazing that we have these mitzvahs. Thank you, God. We praise you for the beauty and, rationality and success or whatever of these mitzvot. That's a birkat ha-shevach v'hodaya. That's why the Baal HaMa'or thought that anytime you have the opportunity to say a bracha while you're doing a mitzvah, that's the appropriate time. Just like you cannot say a birkat ha-shevach. You cannot say a birkat ha-shevach before the event. You can't say a birkat ha-shevach on lightning before you see the lightning. Okay? Because you see the light and you say, wow, that's lightning. Birkat HaShefach. You see people went said Kiddush Levana today. They saw the moon and that inspired you to say the Birkat HaShevach of Birkat HaLevana. We call it Kiddush Levana. It's really Birkat. We don't sanctify the moon. It's Birkat HaLevana. We say a bracha over the new moon. Okay? Also, by the way, a pet peeve of mine. People look at the moon and say the bracha. You should not look at the moon and say the bracha. You should face east and say the bracha. Specifically, it should not look like we're davening to the moon. Okay? We thank God we face east specifically so that it doesn't look like we're davening to the moon.
What if the moon is in the east?
Okay, but you're always face east. That's what are you going to do, face west? Okay. And here's some evidence for it. Here is some evidence for it. Oh, sorry. And why would it be like a Birkat HaNehenin? Why would it be like a Birkat HaNehenin? The answer is that mitzvot are, it's an amazing privilege that we have to partake of mitzvot, just like it's a privilege that we have to eat delicious food. Okay? And before we partake of that privilege, we should stop and thank God for that privilege. You could see how both are I don't like to say these are called chakira. Chakira is when you make a distinction between two things to explain, when you explain the difference between two. I don't like these explanations if they're not reasonable. This is wholly reasonable. It makes sense to view the Birkat HaMitzvah one way, and it makes sense to view it the other way. So, Rav Soloveitchik suggested that Birkot HaMitzvah is really a kind of Birkot HaNehenin. What Rav Soloveitchik wasn't talking about the Yerushalmi, he was talking about the Bavli. Why do you see a bracha before the mitzvah? Because it's like a Birkat HaNehenin. Page 9, the Gemara in Brachot says, and this is what we referred to earlier, Tanu Rabbanan, Asur lo la'adam she'enem min ha'olam hazeh ve'lo bracha. You're not allowed to enjoy anything in this world without first saying a bracha. It's talking about food and drink, but the same thing can be said about mitzvot. You should say a bracha before you do a mitzvah. Turn back another page, page 8. Okay, if you have Hasidic tendencies, you're not going to like this. No de Yehuda. Okay? So, some Hasidim, they say, L'shem yuchud kutcha berichu, and all this stuff. Hinei muchan mzuman l'kayim mitzvah saseh, and blah, blah, blah. Okay. So, this was an innovation, something that was introduced by the Hasidim. And the Noh de Yehuda was very upset by it. The Noh de Yehuda, this is a fabulous response by the Noh de Yehuda. Where he was asked, here, look at the very top on the right-hand side, Noh de Yehuda number 93, Tzadik Gimel. Im yomru nusach l'shem yichud, v'sham tluna l'oskim benistarot. Should we, the title of this, which was given later on, should they say the L'Shem Yichud and also a complaint about those people who deal with the mystical aspects of Torah and think that you say L'Shem Yichud? Okay. Says, V'alarivit asher sha'al, the fourth question, he asked me the series of several questions. Benusach L'Shem Yichud. Everybody's with me? Benusach L'Shem Yichud. On the top of the right-hand column. Asher chadashim Mikarov nitpashet v'nitpas pasidurim. Recently, it's been printed in the sidurim. Hine bezeh ani meshiv ad she'ata shoalani nusach amirato yoter ra'oi lishol im nomar ki tov b'amirato. You ask me what the proper formulation is. I'm going to talk to you about whether or not you should say it in the first place. Ledaati ze ra'a. I think this is evil. Chola bedoreinu. It's a sick evil in our generation. Valadorot shelifnei zmaneinu. And about the generations before our time. Shelo yadu minusach zeh. They never said l'shem yichud. It's a new thing. Velo amru. They never said it. Vayu amelim kol yameyem betorah v'mitzvot. All day long they were toiling in Torah and mitzvot. You can't say about the generations before us that they were not religious enough. They were very religious. Hakol al pi haTorah ve'al pi haPoskim. Everything according to Torah and Poskim. Asher zivrehem novim mimekor ma'im chayim yam haTalmud. Where everything is derived from the source of living waters, the sea of the Talmud. Aleihem ne'emar תומך ישרים תנחם, והם הם אשר עשו פרי למעלג וגדול מעל שמיים חסדם. He says a lot of great things about the people in generation. Aval, you're with me, Aval? You see where I am? Aval, first word on the line is Shamayim, and then there's a period two words in, and it says Aval. From the first paragraph, if you count down, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Yeah. Good, Aval. Aval bedoreinu hazeh, but in our generation, ki azvu et Torat Hashem, they left the Torah of God. This is an early modern.
What did you say before Baruch Shamar? Yud-kei,
he didn't say it, and I don't say it. But some people say it, yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Aval bedoreinu hazeh, ki azvu et Torat Hashem, ומקור מים חיים, שני התלמודים, בבלי וירושלמי. They left the Talmud, the Bavli, and the Talmud Yerushalmi. ולחצוב להם בורות נשברים, ומתנסים ברום לבבם. כל אחד אומר, אנוכי הרואה, ולי נפתחו שערי שמיים. Everybody's breaking up halach, and they're saying, they have, with their haughty hearts, ברום לבבם. Their hearts are haughty, and they say, I see the truth, and I see what God wants. Ba'avuri ha'olam mitkayem, and the world exists for me. Elu hem machrivei hador. These are the destroyers of the generation. Anyway, keeps on saying. He has a lot of words about this, and he says, this generation, they want to say, l'shem yichud kutsha barichu. They are totally wrong to say it because no one else has ever said it before, and it's completely unnecessary. So you say, "What? Why do they say L'shem Yichud? What's the point?"
I don't fully understand.
Why do they say L'shem Yichud Kodesh Barichu?
Hineni
muchan umzuman l'kayim mitzvah saseh kamo shekasov b'Torah.
That's the good part.
Okay,
I don't know what the other part is. I never heard of the...
Why do they say it? Why do they say L'shem Yichud? What do they do?
What is that? Yeah, who says it and when do they say it?
The one God or the unite?
To unite the name of God together, we're doing this mitzvah. Okay, so the reason why they say it...
Is that a cause offense that there's to say that God wouldn't be united?
It is, yeah. Those who are not Kabbalistic in their nature... don't believe that God has, it's a kind of Kabbalistic thing that the world has broken up into lots of different pieces and every mitzvah puts together another piece. But, the rationalists never believed in that. Why do they say this formulation before doing a mitzvah? So some of them said it's because to focus our thoughts on doing the mitzvah. So here's the note the Yehuda says. Look where I underlined. You said, here, we'll start from the beginning of the paragraph. You see where I am? Beginning of the paragraph that I marked with a bracket. Memshin. What you wrote. That it's good for there to be a strong connection between our speech, our thought, and our action. That's what it's for. It's to connect our speech, our thought, and our action. Well, guess what? The rabbis already came up with something to connect our speech, our thought, and our action. You know what it is? The bracha on the mitzvah. There already is a bracha. So why do you have to say it? What is it? Another bracha before the bracha?
Yep.
Okay. That's what he says. He says, Hine anshei kneset agdola. The anshei kneset agdola, the rabbis before, in the days of Sanhedrin, they established the bracha. Hem tiknu lanu tfilot uvarot. They established prayers and blessings. Veleka midi dole remiza benusach tfilah v'abarot. There's nothing that's not already hinted to in the bracha and in the prayers. Uvaracha hu itoraruta adibur. A bracha is the connection of the speech to our action, v'machshava, and the thought. וכל מצווה שיש ברכה לפניה, אין צריך לומר שום דבר לפניה, רק הברכה. Any mitzvah where there's a bracha before that mitzvah, you should say nothing before the bracha besides the bracha. Indeed, when we do Sefirat HaOmer, I announce the page here for Hinei Nimuchan Amzuman, but I have never said Hinei Nimuchan Amzuman. I follow this Snow de Behuda. I wait silently until people say it. Sometimes it confuses the Shaliach Sibur. They think I think he should say it. I wait 10 seconds. And then I say the bracha on Sefirat HaOmer, That's how I count the Omer. I don't say anything before the bracha. I never say anything before Birkat HaMitzvah or before Baruch Shamar or anything like that. Because it itself, the bracha, is what focuses you. It's there to focus you before you do the mitzvah. So Rav Soloveitchik had, this is evidence that the brachot are supposed to be, and he had one more piece of evidence. Look at the last page once again, the Rambam, Halacha Gimel. One halacha, where I underlined Kashem. So Halacha Bet is all about the brachot on food, Birkot HaNehenin. And here's what he says. Kashem shemevarchim al hanaya, kach mevarchim al kol mitzvah u mitzvah. Just as you say a bracha on enjoyment, on food and drink, so too say a bracha on every mitzvah that you do. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Birkot HaMitzvah were a matir. A matir means something that... this is another reason why the Soloveitchiks and others are opposed to Lashem Yichud and to a lot of other things. The bracha, they say, is a matir. It's what, just like before you eat, what grants you permission to eat or drink is the fact that you said the bracha. What grants you permission to do a mitzvah is the fact that you said the Birkot HaMitzvah. It's a matir. It acts just as the Birkot HaNehanin. So you say the bracha, and now you are free to do the mitzvah. That's why the Rav also never said, Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid. You know, some of us say, before Baruch Shamar, people have before Baruch Shamar, Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid, a mourner Scottish, and then Baruch Shamar. The Rav thought it was improper to say Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit LeDavid because Baruch Shamar is the bracha that is the matir that permits us to begin davening. There's no davening before Baruch Shamar. Yeah.
Do you say that?
I don't say Mizmor Shir Chanukat HaBayit.
But I want to ask you also, now is this why Hasidim they always do a little extra, right? Isn't that something they offer you to add on?
Can I? No? Yeah, maybe. I don't know.
He's the wrong person to ask, Nanette.
Yeah. I follow the practice
that's right.
That
next week ask the Chassidim.
Yeah, next week and ask them all about Lashon Yichud. But that's, I think that is you know, when we go back to our Gemara and Megillah, you see that the Mishnah, just to take it all back, the Mishnah said there are places where there's a custom say a bracha and places where not a custom say a bracha on Megillah. And Abaye told us that it's only about the final bracha, not about the first bracha, because everybody agrees he has always have to say a bracha before a mitzvah. We saw that there's a lot more to that statement. It's just a couple of lines in Gemara, but there's so much more to that statement. That there's a whole debate in the Talmud Yerushalmi and among later commentaries between the Baal HaMaor and the Rambam, when is the proper time to say a bracha on a mitzvah? Before the bracha, before the mitzvah, or during the mitzvah? And we saw that it has to do with what you think the point of the bracha is. Is the point of the bracha to be a kind of Birkat HaShevach, to show praise and thanks to God for the beauty of the mitzvah? Or is it to stop and focus before we do the mitzvah and say, here's what we're doing. We're doing this mitzvah. It permits us, just like we need permission to eat, so too we need permission to do the mitzvah and to stop and say, not say L'Shem Yichud or Hinei Nimuchan, just say the bracha on the mitzvah to focus us on that mitzvah.